If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. As we finish up our series, God and Country, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. Nehemiah says, "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes.'" Now let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I realize now, Lord, that you are calling us to the fight, calling us to fight for God and country. I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, what that battle is all about and how we need to fight. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Saturday, July the 13th, after President Trump's campaign rally was over with in Butler, Pennsylvania, and all the shots had been fired and the shooter had been killed, and they were starting to evacuate all the crowd away from the crime scene, an AP photographer took that picture of the bleachers behind where President Trump was standing, where bullets meant for him seriously wounded two men and killed an Army reservist and firefighter. And you see the results there. People, blood has been shed. So if you're listening to the sermon right now and you never realized it before, you better know it for sure today. We're at war, people. There is a war on. And it's only Christian nationalism that truly understands what that battle is really all about and how we need to fight it. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called For God and Country, looking at Christian nationalism and what it's really all about. And today we finish this series by looking at the battle that we Christian nationalists have to fight. And to see that, we turn today to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. About 500 years before the birth of Christ, the Persians allowed Nehemiah and some Jews to go back to Israel to rebuild their country after the Babylonian exile. And in our text today, Nehemiah tells the people they've got to fight because of all the enemies that have declared war and we're trying to keep them from rebuilding their country. And the Holy Spirit is telling us Christians today, we need to fight because of all the enemies that have declared war and are trying to keep us from rebuilding our country too. Our text this morning, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, tells us three things that we need to do in order to fight that battle and win it for God and country. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to fight this battle, we need to fight for truth. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 14. Now the Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem and Judea back in 586 BC, but then 70 years later, Persian King Artaxerxes conquered the Babylonians and let Nehemiah and the Jews go back to build a wall and make the Holy Land great again. But then Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, and Tobiah the Ammonite and all the other leftists on the January 6th commission started trash-talking them. You got to build bridges and not walls, because you right-wing radical Bible-thumping flag-waving Christian nationalist xenophobes are a threat to our democracy. It was a battle of truth for the people of God. It's a battle of truth for the people of God today. Because the attack is coming against the very source of that truth, and that's the church. And we see that attack on every side. Prob, the media will not tell you this, but there have been 916 churches attacked in this country since 2018. 430 of them just last year alone, which means it's getting worse and worse. Churches bombed and torched and vandalized. Last June, the first Holy Family Cathedral in Queens, New York, somebody cut the head off of a Jesus statue. Attacking Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. You don't think there's a war on? You don't think this is a spiritual battle from the devil himself who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Pamela Paul, writer for the New York Times, said 2 weeks ago, "Christians, your values are not America's values. Even though America was founded on Christian values. You stupid Christians, you can practice that stupid religion all you want to in private. Just don't do it in public. Just don't try to use it to influence government. They are telling you to shut up and go off yourselves, Christians. What are you going to do about it? See the battle that we're in? See the enemy that we have? Christians, they think you're all terrorists. Latin mass Catholics, terrorists. Christian parents who homeschool their kids, terrorists. National Right to Life. Pro-life organization that's been saving babies from abortion since 1968 is now designated by the Biden DOJ as a terrorist organization. And they are teaching the United States military that it is a threat to our domestic tranquility. And that's the reason we in Illinois cannot have Choose Life license plates on our cars. They are illegal in this state because the left realizes that you violent pro-life extremists will use that to start an insurrection. You're listening to this sermon right now and you think that Christian nationalism is all about politics. You haven't been paying attention at all because it's a matter of life and death, folks. Last May the 5th, Braddock, Pennsylvania, suburb of Pittsburgh, a 26-year-old head case named Bernard Polite walked into the Jesus Dwelling Place Church with a Glock 43 pointed at the pastor, and that happened.
It happened Sunday while Reverend Glenn Germany was live streaming a sermon at his church outside of Pittsburgh. Police say the suspect walked up to the front, pointed a gun at Germany, and pulled the trigger, but the gun didn't fire. Church Deacon Clarence McAllister tackled the gunman, and Germany jumped in to pry the gun away.
That gun was fully loaded, and it even clicked. But amazingly, miraculously, it never fired. Yes, we're in a battle against the enemy. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Because you fight for God's truth, God will fight for you. And make sure that you stay alive until it's time for you to die. So fight. Fight, because in case you don't realize that they're not just trying to destroy your church, they're trying to destroy you and your faith and your witness and your testimony, because they realize that is the final bulwark against the total Marxist takeover of this country. We got to fight for truth because it's an attack against truth itself. You see it all over the internet. America's not a Christian nation because John Adams' founding father said this: the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. The only problem is, John Adams never said that. A very bad translation of the Arabic version of the Treaty of Tripoli, 1783, said that. But John Adams did say this: the principles on which the founding fathers achieved independence were the principles of Christianity. Don't tell me that John Adams didn't know America was founded as a Christian nation. April 29, 1607, Anglican priest Robert Hunt planted a wooden cross in what is now Cape Henry, Virginia, and dedicated this entire country to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1620, Mayflower Compact, the pilgrims claimed this entire country for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. 1892, the United States Supreme Court declared America is a Christian nation. My country really tis of thee. But Kevin, you Christian nationalists, you're setting up a Christian theocracy here. Are you kidding me? This nation just went through 30 days of Sodom and Gomorrah called Pride Month, with pervs and queers even mocking the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. People, take a look at that picture. Does this look like to you that there's a Christian theocracy in America? Christian street preacher. In the Pride Parade, Seattle, Washington, last month. See what the queers and the pervs are doing to try to shut him down and keep him from preaching the gospel? Barking like dogs. That's what you call suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. Don't expect to be honored in a world that crucified Christ, people. John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. And they do. In order to fight for truth, we've got to battle for it. We fight for truth, we've got to fight against all the gaslighting. And what's gaslighting? Very simple. You're not really seeing what your eyes are really seeing. Don't believe your lying eyes. We'll tell you what's really going on. It's what the deep state and the lamestream media have been doing to the American people for the last 4 years when it comes to Joe Biden and the condition that he's really in. Because all of us knew 4 years ago already, with the stiffness, the lack of movement, the confusion, the brain freezes, mixing up his words. Joe Biden has Parkinson's and dementia. Anybody who spends any time at all around old people recognizes it. 43 years of ministry, I've seen it thousands of times in nursing homes. We see it in Joe Biden, not being able to find his way off a stage, trying to shake hands with imaginary people, trying to take an imaginary seat at the 80th anniversary D-Day celebration in Normandy. Wandering away from all the world leaders at the G7. Freezing for an entire minute at the Juneteenth celebration at the White House. Barack Obama having to take him by the hand and lead him off the stage after the fundraiser in Los Angeles. Joe Biden has Parkinson's and dementia. And it's not his fault, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. But folks, there's no way in the world somebody like that ought to have been let anywhere near the White House. And the fact that he is in the White House just proves Joe Biden really isn't the president. He's just a Trojan horse for the New World Order that's really running this country and purposely running into the ground. And not only that, it also proves that his wife, Jill Biden, is just as narcissistic and power hungry as he is. My God, people, you talk about elder abuse. And that's why nobody around Joe Biden would ever admit it. White House spokesman Karine Jean-Pierre said, Joe Biden was just fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just Republicans doing cheap fakes and manipulating videos to make Joe Biden look bad. HLS Director Alejandro Mayorkas said, Joe Biden's been sharp as a tack. Joe Scarborough said this, Joe Biden's very sharp, far beyond cogent. He's better than he's ever been intellectually. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever. Yeah, the guy's a regular Einstein. Political hack Nancy Pelosi even went so far as to say the real person that has dementia isn't Joe Biden, it's Donald Trump. You talk about gaslighting. And they kept the charade going until the June 27th presidential debate when things like that happened.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
And of course, after Joe Biden crashed and burned, all the leftists acted like they were surprised. Actor George Clooney said, I never realized he was that bad. Are you kidding me? You knew it all along. Every leftist deep stater knew it all along. And not only knew it, but helped cover it up. The biggest political hoax in the history of this country. And now all the calls for Joe Biden to drop out of the election. But if he's not fit to run for the White House, why is it okay for him to be in the White House now? Because folks, you talk about data. Joe Biden can't even talk to people anymore, even with a teleprompter. He only works from 10 to 4, goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night. What if World War III breaks out after 8 p.m.? Who are we supposed to call? Jill Biden? My God, people, what they have done to this country. And what's even scarier, if they gaslighted the American people about Joe Biden's dementia, what else are they gaslighting about? Well, you can guess. Donald Trump is a Russian agent. Event 201, the Great Reset. January 6th was an insurrection. Hunter Biden's laptop was a disinformation campaign. The border is secure. There was no cheating in the 2020 election. Illegals are not voting. And Christian nationalism is evil. I could go on and on and on. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said the number one characteristic of the last days is what? Deception. Gaslighting. Which means if you want the truth, you've got to fight for it. You've got to battle for it. And how do you fight for the truth? You fight for the truth by proclaiming and declaring the truth, by speaking the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The only truth that can set people and this entire nation free. The first thing we need to do to fight this battle, we've got to fight for truth. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to fight this battle for God and country. We not only need to fight for truth, we also need to fight for our family. And that's also what Nehemiah says here in verse 14. Fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Notice the very first thing Nehemiah tells us here that we've got to take care of. It's not the 2024 election. It's not the poll numbers in the swing states. It's not deciding who's going to replace Joe Biden if that ever happens. It's your family. So the most important thing in America right now is not what's going on in the White House. It's what's going on in your house. So Christians, let me ask you this morning. You got your house in order? You got your family in order? How many Christians listen to this sermon right now? Honest to God. You're so caught up in trying to save this country. You're losing your family. Yes, make America great again. But how about making your family and your marriage and your relationship with your kids and your kids' relationship with the Lord? How about making those things great again? Priority number one. Because as the family goes, so goes the country. You need to fight for your family because the devil knows it too. He knows you destroy the family, you destroy the country. All throughout history, the basic building block of every society, every country, every civilization is the biblical family, a male father and a female mother with children if God blesses. Amen. Not Heather has two mommies. Not my rainbow daddies and me. That's not a family. This is a family. And because of that, that family today is under attack from every side. LGBTQ says you don't need both a mom and a dad. Fentanyl is now killing more 18-year-olds than anything else on the face of the earth. The average parents are now spending $11,000 more a year just to feed their kids than they did 4 years ago because of Bidenomics, which means you pay more and live worse. Parental authority is under attack in this country. State of Virginia, you stand up and speak at a school board meeting, you're a domestic terrorist. Here in the People's Republic of Illinois, your 13-year-old daughter can't get her ears pierced without your permission. But that same 13-year-old girl can get an abortion without you even knowing about it. No parental notification. The state of Massachusetts. Christian parents, Mark and Kitty Burke, spent 3 years doing all the interviews and all the training to be foster parents, only to be told last March they couldn't adopt because they were Christians. Because if they adopted a kid that one day decided that they were transgender, they would be too judgmental against them. Talk about discrimination. Taylor Swift, who claims to be a Christian. Tortured Poets album. 31 more songs about banging guys she's not married to. There's a good role model for your kids. Taylor Swift has music videos that show gay weddings and trannies kissing each other, mocking Christians who are opposed to it and are protesting it. Her heiress tour had more snakes and witches than a Harry Potter movie. Taylor Swift has built her entire career on making bad decisions about men. Then she goes out and endorses Joe Biden for president. Parents, you don't teach your kids to follow Christ. Taylor Swift will teach them not to. Porn, huge attack against families today. Parents, if your kids have a phone, 90% chance your kids are looking at porn. If your kids have a phone and you're not checking it, 100% chance they're looking at porn. And not because you're bad parents, it's because we live in a bad world. You've got to fight. Amen. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now, you say, look, Kevin, my family's divided right now. My family's divided because of politics. Join the club. Because you're MAGA, because you support Donald Trump, the rest of your family treats you like a leper. And it's nothing new. Ronald Reagan had a son named Ron Jr., who absolutely hated everything that Ronald Reagan believed and still does. Benjamin Franklin had a son who fought for the British during the Revolutionary War and killed American soldiers. It's all a part of the fight. You got to fight for your family. I guarantee you, this guy would. His daughters came home from school one day with something that didn't sound right. This guy would call the superintendent. And why? Because he's the father. He's the spiritual leader of that house. He's the gatekeeper of that family. His money helps pay for that school. He'd be all over it. Amen. Last March, 34-year-old Adrian Marks, Richmond, Virginia, went to pick up his little 4-year-old boy at preschool and found that the teacher had put a girl's skirt on his son. This is what he did.
Let that be the first and last time I see you do that, please. Take that off immediately.
Take it off.
And you guys never ever let my son put a dress on, ever.
Okay.
Ever. You understand me? Like ever.
No worries. You can't get it done.
First time and last time.
Ever.
Notice he didn't just laugh it off. He didn't just say, well, you got the degree in childhood development, not me. You're the expert, not me. Notice he didn't go postal. He just said that will never, ever, ever, ever happen again. And I bet my life it won't. You got to fight for your family. You better fight for your family because right now Joe Biden has the southern border wide open. And Democrats and liberals and the leftists are importing millions and millions of illegals into this country so they can vote in the 2024 election. No vetting, no background checks. Come on, come all. And I'm not saying all illegals are criminals because they're certainly not. But too many of them are. And because of that, too many Americans are dying because of it. 22-year-old Lakin Riley, nursing student, University of Georgia in Athens. murdered last February the 22nd by a 25-year-old illegal named Jose Ibarra, who assaulted her, bashed her head in with a rock, and then dragged her body into the bushes. It took Lake and Riley 4 hours to die, all by herself. And you know what the left said about it? The only thing the left said about it? Well, you shouldn't refer to Jose Ibarra as an illegal. He should be called undocumented, because that's a discriminatory term. He's a murderer, for crying out loud. You know what the media said about it? Well, it's just a warning that young women shouldn't go jogging by themselves. That's all. 37-year-old Rachel Morin, raped and murdered last August the 5th on a walking trail in Bel Air, Maryland, by a 25-year-old illegal named Vicente Hernandez. Vicente Hernandez murdered a woman in El Salvador in 2022, fled here to America because they knew officials would let him in. 2 months after that, he almost killed a woman and her 9-year-old daughter in California. Vicente Hernandez had been deported 3 different times, came back 3 different times because Joe Biden wants more voters. 13-year-old Jocelyn Nungara, Houston, Texas, murdered by 2 illegals from Venezuela who lured her away from a 7-Eleven, raped her for 6 hours, then strangled her to death and threw her body in a ditch. Michelle Powell and her 16-year-old son, Littleton, Colorado, murdered by an illegal alien drunk driver who'd been deported from this country 5 different times for DUI and kept coming back like a bad penny. People, I could go on and on and on. Americans over and over and over again being brutalized and raped and murdered by illegals. And your government does absolutely nothing. Nothing. 13-year-old girl, New York City, raped in broad daylight by that guy right there. This is what Joy Reid of The View and Congressman Pramila Jayapal said about it.
Here's the 3 cable networks reporting of this. Our banner said, soon Biden announces legal protections for undocumented spouses of U.S. citizens. CNN's banner said, Biden announces new protections for some undocumented spouses. Here was Fox's banner, migrant arrested for raping 13-year-old New York City.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of the problem,
exactly.
Right? Is that you have
that's
a lot of fear-mongering.
Exactly.
13-year-old girl bound, gagged, raped by that monster, who recorded it on her phone and then sent the video to all of her friends to traumatize them too. And they laughed about it. You say, well, Kevin, these Americans, they could be raped and killed by other Americans. Absolutely they could, but they weren't. They were raped and killed by illegals who should have never been in this country to start with. And folks, nowhere in America is safe because illegals have been purposely placed all over the place. Every state is a border state now. Americans are being killed. Families are being attacked. You don't think your family's at stake in this battle for God and country? Last Saturday, July the 13th, at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks crawled up on a roof with an AR-566 and got off 5 shots against President Trump before Secret Service snipers shot him dead. 2 of those bullets hit Donald Trump in the ear. The rest of the bullets went into the crowd and the stands and the bleachers behind Donald Trump. 1 woman got shot in the hand. Another guy got grazed in the neck. 2 older men were seriously wounded and had to be hospitalized for almost a week. And sadly enough, that guy got hit too. 50-year-old Corey Comprator, born-again Christian, who went to church every single Sunday, Army reservist and former chief of the Buffalo Township Fire Department in his hometown. So he knew how to save and how to rescue people. And he was so pumped to be able to go to that Trump rally that day with his wife, Helen, and his 2 daughters, Kaylee and Allison. And they were sitting in the stands in the bleachers right behind Donald Trump to his left. And when Thomas Matthew Crook started shooting and Corey Comprator heard the bullets start whizzing by, his first thought, his first instinct was to protect his family. So he screamed, "Get down," pushed him down on the bleachers, threw himself on top of him, and took 2 shots to the head. And an ER doctor ran over and started doing CPR, but it was too late because all of his brain matter had already been blasted out of his skull. And Corey Comprator died a hero, because he put himself between his family and the shooter and took the bullets that were meant for somebody else, so his family wouldn't have to take them. He sacrificed his life to save them. He died so they could live and still be a family. Here's what his daughter Allison posted about him online. Yesterday, what was supposed to be an exciting day for all of us, especially for my dad, turned into the most traumatizing experience anybody could ever imagine. The media will not cover this, but he was the best dad a girl could ever have. My sister and I never lacked for anything. You'd call, he would answer, and do whatever you needed. He could talk and make friends with anybody, which he was doing yesterday, and loved every minute of it. He was a man of God, loved Jesus fiercely, and looked after our church and its members like family. When the shots came, he threw us down and shielded us from the bullets that were coming at us. He truly loved us enough to take a bullet for us. And I want nothing more than to cry on him and tell him thank you. I know that there are a lot of kids who say their dad is a hero, but my dad really is one. Dad, I love you so much. There aren't words to express how deep that love goes. And I know that God is proud of the man who came to his gates yesterday. Folks, you don't think this war is real? You don't think this battle is personal? You don't think your family is ground zero in this war against evil in America in these last days? You don't think families are taking hits and being taken out? You don't think you need to fight for your family? Of course you do. And why do you fight for your family? Because, just like Corey Comptor, because you love your family. Exactly the same kind of love that Jesus Christ had for us. Because see, because we're sinners, every single one of us deserved all the hits and all the bullets of God's wrath. We deserve to take those and die and go to hell forever and ever. Every single one of us was on the cross, right in the line of fire, about to die like we should have died and been taken out. But when the bullets started flying, Jesus Christ, in his grace and mercy, his first thought was to protect us. Jesus came up and said, get down off that cross. And Jesus Christ crawled up on that cross himself and took our place, put himself between us and the shooter right in the line of fire, and took all those bullets and all that wrath in himself, bullets that were meant for somebody else. Jesus sacrificed his life to save us. Jesus died so we could live, so Jesus could be our brother, and we could be a part of the family of God. And all you need to do is confess your sin to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. People, the absolute number one most important thing in this fight in these last days is to know that the members of your family are saved. So the number one absolute most important thing you need to fight for your family in these last days is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't care how crazy they think you are. Keep sharing the gospel with them. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and wants your family saved even more than you do. The second thing we need to do in order to fight this battle, we need to fight for our family. Well, in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to fight this battle for God and country. We not only need to fight for truth, we not only need to fight for our family, but third, we need to fight for this country. And that's also what Nehemiah is telling us here in verse 14, because the country won't save itself. And I've heard it a million times, well, Kevin, you can't serve God and serve and fight for your country at the same time. Seriously? The prophet Ahab served God by fighting for his country against wicked King Ahab. Esther served God by standing before the king on behalf of her country. John the Baptist called out wicked King Herod Antipas for adultery and still pointed people to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. What do you mean you can't serve God if you serve your country? One of the ways you do serve God is by serving your country. Amen. But Kevin, Christian nationalism. Folks, if you don't want Christian nationalism, what do you want? Satanic nationalism? How about pagan globalism? That's exactly what the world wants. No borders, no walls, no USA at all. Do we see why we need to fight for this country? People fight. Fight like the third monkey trying to get on the ark. Because the biggest attack against America today is coming from the inside. It's coming from our own government. Because in case you haven't realized it, your government does not care about you. Your government tried to ban ivermectin, but not fentanyl. Last May, the FDA recalled HeartMate 3, a ventricular device that's supposed to help you keep your heartbeat. They recalled it because it killed two people and injured almost 900 more. The COVID vaccine, the clot shot, has killed over 15 million people and counting, and injured gazillions and gazillions more. But the FDA's never recalled that. In fact, they're still promoting it. Go to the airport without your photo ID, good luck getting on an airplane. But see, if you're an illegal, you can fly anytime, anywhere without a photo ID at all. See the TSA sign at the Miami airport? All an illegal has to do is go to the airport, go to a TSA officer, and say that they're a migrant. And the TSA officer takes their picture and sees if the picture matches up with the bio information that the migrant gives them. But notice what the sign says? Photo optional. Is your photo optional? Is your photo ID optional, Americans, when you go to an airport to fly? Absolutely not. So these illegals could be anybody from anywhere on their way to somewhere else to do only God knows what. They are playing Russian roulette with our lives, people. Amen. Why in the world in America are illegals more important than Americans? You know why, because that's the new voting bloc. Last May, the state of California, the state legislature would not even vote to deport illegals who were pedophiles. You know why? Your government does not care about you. Your government only cares about staying in power. Last March, Minneapolis, Minnesota became the first city in America to start broadcasting the Muslim call to prayer 5 times a day over huge loudspeakers all across the city, like they were Islamabad or something. And have you noticed the new Minnesota state flag? Notice how much it looks like the national flag of Somalia. 100,000 Somali Muslims living in Minnesota right now. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence, right? Minnesota is now the first state flag in America to have an 8-pointed star on it. 8-pointed star, the symbol of Islam. Whose country is this? The Biden administration right now is using the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network to spy on all your credit card purchases, to see if you're buying anything that's related to Trump or MAGA, or if you're buying a Bible, because that's the real indication that you're an extremist for sure. The Biden administration colluded with Facebook and YouTube to censor you and cancel your First Amendment rights to free speech online. The Biden administration right now is trying to take away your gas stove and your charcoal grill and your gas-powered car and your dishwasher and all your red meat. And yet they say Donald Trump is the one who's the fascist. The Biden administration is the most authoritarian government in the history of this country. And if they get another 4 years, every one of us is going to be walking around eating bugs with a QR code right here in our forehead. People, we've got to fight for our country. Amen. Fight like that homeowner from Ithaca, New York. See what happens when a troll came into his yard and tried to steal his Trump campaign sign? He electrified the sign. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and vote for Donald Trump. We've got to fight Trump derangement syndrome. I got this email last week. Dear Pastor Garner, I am so disappointed by your obvious endorsement of Donald Trump because the man is just amoral and evil. So bad, I really believe he is the Antichrist and the beast of Revelation. It's absolutely amazing how so many Christians like you can embrace a sex offender and traitor who enjoyed watching the insurrection he caused on January the 6th. Don't vote for evil people. That should be obvious to you, a pastor, but evidently not. Folks, Christians like this have absolutely no clue the danger that this country is in. They have absolutely no clue about the enemy that we're facing. None. Can we get real here, Christians, just for a second? Does everybody here understand how a presidential election works? There's only two candidates who have a chance of winning. It's either Donald Trump or Joe Biden or some other leftist that they put in his place. Does everybody realize if people don't vote for Donald Trump, that means Joe Biden or the other leftist is going to win? Does everybody understand that? Because I can meet all kinds of Christians with the silly notion if they don't vote for Donald Trump, they're doing the somehow noble thing and Jesus is going to win or nobody's going to win. If Donald Trump doesn't get elected president in 2024, we get 4 more years of this train wreck and this country will never survive it. Amen. See, I've got a memory. I remember what it was like when Donald Trump was in the White House 2016 to 2020, when gas was half the price it is now. And there was no censorship and there was no lawfare and political opponents weren't being put in prison. And there was no foreign wars and there was peace in the Middle East and the greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world. The 2024 election is not about Donald Trump, even though the left wants you to think that. The 2020 election was not about Donald Trump. The 2016 election was not about Donald Trump. It's about one thing and one thing only, and that is stopping the slow march to communism in this country. It's about stopping the total Marxist takeover of America. Where all freedom will die, and the gospel witness that God raised up from this country to broadcast to the world will be silenced forever. Amen. We've got Trump derangement syndrome on steroids in this country.
Not only are they planning on a civil war, if they have to do that, but he's spelling it out specifically how and what they're going to do and how he's going to get revenge, how he's going to attack his enemies, all of these things. And when he talks about race, we know, and I'm going to tell you again today, Donald Trump is a pure racist. And I am worried that the attack is going to be on people of color.
So maybe he didn't read Mein Kampf, but he kept a collection of Hitler's speeches by his bed, according to his first wife, in a Vanity Fair article.
Oh.
And you can hear it in his words. You can see it at his rallies. That's exactly the direction he's going. He's going doubling, tripling down on fascist Hitler-like rhetoric.
And I guess I'll just ask you, from somebody who's sitting outside of the media window, what is it going to take to get the media to take seriously the fact that Donald Trump is acting like a Nazi, talking like a Nazi, and now posting like a Nazi?
The whole premise of Joe Biden's campaign, Donald Trump is a Nazi, he's an existential threat to our country, and he's going to destroy our democracy. Rick Wilson of the Stupid Lincoln Project said 2 weeks ago, somebody's going to have to put a bullet in it. 5 days before the shooting, Joe Biden said, we need to put the bullseye on Donald Trump. 3 days before the shooting, George Soros' son, Alex Soros, posted that online. $47, 47th president, Donald Trump, with a bullet hole through a window. Don't tell me these evil, despicable people don't have blood on their hands, because that stupid rhetoric created an atmosphere of hate and violence that inspired that 20-year-old nutcase to shoot President Trump in the head and to kill a fighter fire on July the 13th. But how the American people react to it?
I thought it was magnificently staged. It was professionally done. It almost looked real.
I guess it kind of seemed like it was coming. Like, there just seems to be a lot of animosity.
Since he missed, I can guarantee you there's going to be 100 people that are going to try to not miss.
Would you support that?
Yeah, 100%.
It's a false flag.
False flag.
Yeah, false flag.
People, somebody died and two people injured. What do you think about that?
False flag.
False flag.
That's what you call end times deception. You say, well, Kevin, what about January the 6th? January the 6th, after July the 13th, I better never hear one more thing about January the 6th for the rest of my entire life. People, we've got to fight for this country. We've got to fight for this country because there are things happening right now that you and I have never seen before in our entire lives. Last Monday in Illinois, there was an earthquake, a derecho, and 32 different tornadoes all in the same day. Last Thursday night, the biggest IT outage in human history that plunged most of the entire world into technological darkness. We've got Iranian warships in the Persian Gulf with the U.S. Navy. Nuclear submarines from Russia off the coast of Florida. Bird flu coming to America. Civil war has already started because in a matter of time, somebody else is going to try to pop President Donald Trump. People, it is not going to take very much at all to truly push this country over the edge. And what do? We need help. The only help that we have. And where is it going to come from?
You still need help from the boss. We need help from the boss. What happened? We need help. Somebody said to me the other day, you're the most famous person in the world by far. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. They said, yes, you are. I said, no. They said, who's more famous? I said, Jesus Christ.
We need help from the boss. We need help from Jesus Christ. And what do you know? Last Saturday, July the 13th, we got it. Because everything associated with that assassination attempt against President Trump last July the 13th absolutely stinks to high heaven. the director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, was a DEI hire pushed by Jill Biden. Most of Donald Trump's regular security detail were replaced that day by officers from Homeland Security with little or no experience. Secret Service spotted Thomas Matthew Crooks as a suspicious character an hour and 2 minutes before he started shooting, and they never detained him. Eyewitnesses like the guy you see right here saw the shooter bear crawling on the roof of the ag building with a rifle and even told police, even told authorities, no action was taken. How long before that guy mysteriously dies in a car accident? The shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was in a commercial for BlackRock last year, the slimiest, sleaziest, swampiest big state organization in the history of the world. Now we know who paid for his sniper training. The Secret Service is the number one law enforcement protection agency in the entire world. And yet they let a 20-year-old kid shoot the President of the United States in the head from 130 yards away, and then they didn't shoot him until after he shot first. Let him on the roof. Let him take his shots and then take him out so he can't talk. Can everybody say inside job?
Inside job.
But in spite of that, notice what happened. Now, 130 yards away for a competition shooter is a chip shot. Three bullets come flying at President Trump's head. Show the video.
New footage has emerged revealing just how close Donald Trump came to death when he was shot at his Pennsylvania rally on July 13th. A computer-generated 3D visualization made by social media account Point Consciousness shows a bird's-eye view of the bullet skimming Donald Trump's ear
because he tilts
right
his head ever so slightly, ever so slightly
head.
To the right.
The 3D graphic also shows
only
the path
two bullets
the bullet
hit him in
the would
ear.
Have
the third
taken
bullet misses
if
altogether.
Trump did not tilt his head at the last second.
A 45-millimeter bullet from an AR-556 travels 2,800 feet per second, which means you don't hear that shot until after it hits you. So Donald Trump did not turn his head because he heard the noise. The very nanosecond that kid pulled the trigger, amazingly, miraculously, Donald Trump moved his head ever so slightly to the right, 2 centimeters. And because of that, that made all the difference in the world. All the difference between those two bullets taken off the top of his right ear and those two bullets taken off the back of his head and his brains being blown out on national TV. By the grace of God and 2 centimeters, people. If you didn't believe in miracles before July the 13th, you better start believing them now. Remember all the miracles that we've talked about in this church? All the times when God came down and stepped in and did incredible things to save this country. You just saw another one last Saturday, July the 13th. People, there is a God who intervenes in the affairs of men. See the two flags hanging above that stage? Before that rally ever started, those two flags got tangled together. And they're making the shape of what? They're making the shape of an angel. Don't tell me the angel of the Lord wasn't watching over Donald Trump that day. And because that happened, that happened.
I got you, sir. I got you, sir.
Let me get my shoes, sir.
Hold on, your head is bloody.
So we gotta move to the front.
Let me get my shoes.
He gets up. Agents knocked Donald Trump to the floor of the stage and then started getting him up to get him to the armored SUV. But notice the blood. And where is it? On his right ear. Old Testament law, Leviticus chapters 8 and 14, blood was put on the right ear to show a person had been dedicated and consecrated to God for a special purpose. It was also a sign that person had been spiritually transformed and purified so they could fulfill that purpose. And the right ear also symbolized that person's ability to hear and do what God was telling them to do. And not only that, notice in the scrum, Donald Trump was asking for his shoes. The agents had thrown him down so hard, his slip-on Oxfords fell off his feet. That's what happened to one of them. One of the agents tossed it off the stage when they were taking Donald Trump to the SUV. The other one was left there on the stage. So Donald Trump left that stage without his regular shoes on. And you know why? Because at that moment when Donald Trump was on his face on that stage without his shoes, not knowing how bad he'd been injured, not knowing if he was going to live or die, at that moment, something happened to Donald Trump. All of a sudden, he realized he'd been consecrated by blood to hear and do and fulfill the purpose that God had for him. So at that moment, Donald Trump got a new pair of shoes, and his feet were shod with the gospel of peace, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And how do we know that? When did the shooting happen? 6:11 p.m. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 says what? Put on the whole armor of God. The last piece of that armor is what? The shoes of the gospel of peace. Do you think maybe, just maybe, God was trying to tell us something, like Donald Trump was being prepared for the mission that God had for him? And folks, how do we know that? Donald Trump said last Thursday night at the RNC, he's not supposed to be here. Donald Trump should have been killed. But he realized that God spared his life to fulfill a special purpose that God has for him. Folks, Donald Trump is not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. But in a way that I don't understand, I don't have it all worked out. I don't know how it's all supposed to work out. But some way, somehow, God wants to use Donald Trump, sinner that he is, and what happened to him, to not only make America great again, but to also make America godly again, and to help make America born again. And how do we know that? Notice something has happened to Donald Trump after that shooting. He's been changed. He's humbled. He's subdued. He changed his entire speech last Thursday night, so it wasn't bashing Joe Biden. It was a call for America to come together and come back to the Lord. See the picture of Donald Trump coming off the stage? The American flag hanging upside down in the background. Upside down flag, a sign of a nation in distress. This nation is more distressed and more divided right now than it's ever been in our lifetime. And God, some way, somehow, wanting to use what happened to Donald Trump to bring this nation together and back to the God who founded it. And how is that ever going to happen? Here's what Donald Trump did when he was getting off the stage. He raises his right hand in the air and he tells the crowd, fight, fight, fight. People, you can't stage that. You can't fake that. A 78-year-old billionaire who could spend the rest of his life doing absolutely nothing but playing golf. A man who has been dragged to hell and back umpteen times. The most persecuted public figure in the history of this country. Who just survived an assassination attempt, having his brains blown out by 2 centimeters. And his first thought is what? Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep fighting. And people, we need to keep fighting too. Keep fighting. Keep fighting the spiritual battle. Keep fighting for God and country and for the kingdom. Because Donald Trump says they're going after him, but they're really coming after you. Keep fighting. Because if Donald Trump can do it, you can do it. If Donald Trump can get up off the floor, you can keep getting up off the floor. If Donald Trump can keep putting himself on the line and standing in the gap for this country, you can keep putting yourself on the line and standing in the gap for this country. Don't tell me it's all over with. Don't tell me it's too late. Don't tell me this is the twilight's last gleaming and there is no hope, so we might as well give up. Don't tell me that the leftists and the Marxists and the communists have already won. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and keep fighting, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17. And most of all, because we're not doing it for him, we are doing it for him. Amen. Fight. Last Saturday, July the 13th, Donald Trump didn't just dodge a bullet. This entire nation dodged a bullet. Because folks, Donald Trump, by the grace and mercy of God, did not die. Because if Donald Trump had died, this nation would be up for grabs. There would be civil war, because we the people are ticked off like nobody's business about the absolute disgrace the left has turned this country into. But see, Donald Trump did not die. And because of that, he said at the RNC last Thursday night, he wants to use what happened to him as a renewal for this country. Now, so nobody misunderstands. Our hope is not in Donald Trump. Our hope is in the Lord. And what God might use what happened to Donald Trump to bring this country back to himself. Notice, not for ruin, for renewal. Not for revolution, but for restoration. Not for revolt, but for revival. But folks, for that to happen, you and I have got to fight for it. And listen to me, we will fight for it. Because there are still millions and millions of Christian nationalists in this country who aren't going to give up anything. We're not surrendering a micron of a millimeter. And we will fight for God and country, tooth and toenail, to the very last man, to the very last breath. But if we're going to fight, we've got to stand up for it. We've got to speak up for it. Most importantly, we've got to do spiritual warfare and pray for it. I want everybody in this room right now, if you're able, would you stand right where you're at? Battle for God and country. We're going to pray and we're going to do some spiritual warfare, not only for Donald Trump, but for this nation. that there might be a new birth of freedom, that there would be revival in this country that would see millions and millions of Americans saved and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That this nation would go back to what the founding fathers intended, truly one nation under God. Let's pray. Lord, we're just a portion of the body of Christ here in America, 300 some people standing in this little country church. But Lord, we join with all kinds of people in America today who still love you and who still love this country with all of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you would just use what happened on Saturday, July the 13th for a massive, earth-shaking, devil-quaking revival in this country that millions and millions of people would be saved. I don't know how you want to use Donald Trump, but I know, Lord, you spared his life for a reason. I just ask and pray for supernatural protection for him and for everybody around him, all of his family members who are getting the death threats too. And I just pray, Lord, that you would make yourself known in a powerful way in these last days in this nation, that America would be free until you part the clouds and come again. And I pray you would show every single one of us the battle that we have to fight, the battle that's in front of us, the battle that you called us to. We need to stand up and speak up and remind people of things, and most importantly, share that word of life. God, I pray you just take away the fear that every single one of us has in our hearts and minds of taking a stand for you in a world that does not honor you, in a world that hates us. Pray, Lord, that we would just overcome that. Realize, Lord, it's too late and there's too much at stake. Just ask, Lord, that you would bless these prayers, Lord, that we are praying to you right now, and you just use it, Lord, to revive this nation. God, please, this cannot be the end. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen. We're going to keep fighting this battle. We're going to keep doing spiritual warfare. And we know that this battle has already been won, because the battle really does belong to the Lord.